TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on the Daily Stormer.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio on Radio Stormer at the Daily Stormer.com. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and I have with me Dennis Wise, producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and Communism by the Back Door, which is what we're going to go into a little bit today. And just before we do that, and before I introduce him, I'll just remind people that we do have a chat room and people can listen to the radio all day long, really. We have new programs on there. We have new programs produced by Radio Stormer. We have Trad Youth on there. We have Dennis Wise on there. We have Andrew Anglin on there on Wednesdays. You have narrations every day, which I do. Plus, we have whatever's come out that week from the London Forum or from AMREN, all the various nationalist groups that you can find their audios and videos online, and we play them. And you can download our stuff, you can subscribe to the feed, or you can just go in the chat room and talk to like-minded people. So now that's got that out of the way, I'll introduce Dennis. How are you doing today, Dennis?
Okay, thank yourself.
Yeah, pretty good. The weather's not quite as good as it has been, but it's still pretty good. Life is good. Things aren't too bad. Things aren't as bad as how it seems from looking at your recent documentary series. I've been having a look at some of these today on the music business and on Hollywood and on the UN. And it's really shocking what's going on. The decadence in some of these music videos that's being shown to the young people, and what's going on in the movies as well, in these films. I mean, it really is communism by the back door, basically. It's putting communism into all these young people's minds. They don't realise just how they're being manipulated through watching this rubbish, really, is what it is. But people seem to like it. They like to see these mulatto women thrusting themselves at the television screen, and these young girls that used to work for Disney simulating sex with Negroes. It's just a total decadence. I was quite impressed with it. Impressed with the series. It's quite a different sort of feel to it to the Hitler one, I thought. I've got a feeling it's probably going to go on for quite some time to fit everything in. What really sort of inspired you to start this series off, Dennis?
Well, quite simply, the fact that we lost World War II, and this is the consequence. And people, it's done so subtly and over such a length of time, and because they control everything from the media to the education system to the music industry to the film industry. You know, it's a constant barrage, but yet sublimely done over a period of time where you don't tend to notice how life has changed. And I'm quite sure people can think back to, you know, back to the 90s or maybe the 80s, even further back. And if you just took a jump from that particular time to today, the changes in practically everything has been tremendous, but unnoticeable because it has gone through such a long, slow process. But as we've said before, Sven, they're not in any hurry. You know, they've got time on their hands. They've no actual military opposition. And so they can even speed up the process, which I feel they have done in some cases, to try and get to this agenda of one world government, total control, the government being communism, and a one world religion, which is, in my opinion, it's going to be Luciferian.
Well, this seems to play a big part of it, is the one world religion side of it, and it goes through everything, doesn't it? I mean, I noticed in the music one, you've got Freddie Mercury singing about one world, one religion. You've got the Pope talking, since Vatican II, about all faiths being the same. And in the United Nations, you've got this dedication to this God that's known by all, many different names. Satan's known by all these different names. And these idols. So I think this, and this destruction of Christianity, what they're doing at the moment by promoting the church is promoting homosexuality, promoting mass immigration, promoting race mixing, all these things that are against our religion. They're against Christianity, those things. I mean, it's quite obvious that they're against it. I mean, it gives out the death penalty for homosexuality in the Bible. You've got Sodom and Gomorrah that get completely destroyed by God for their sin of sodomy. And then you've got the churches today talking about, well, we can allow gay marriage and we can allow gay bishops. And all this has come about since the end of the war, when we lost the war and the Jews won the war. And another side of it that I was thinking about is the way that they keep making out that we live in the free world and we don't want anybody to impinge on the freedom of the press or the freedom of people to make their music. And yet all of the music and the press and the governments are all playing to the same tune. They're all singing the same tune, aren't they?
Exactly.
You know, these musicians, they only, and these actors and the people making the films, they've only got to the positions they have by towing this one world, new world order agenda, towing the line for that, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, because basically what it is Hollywood and the music industry is controlled, as I explained in the videos, it's controlled by Freemasonry. And if you don't, any act or any actor don't agree with this, you know, they will never get to that point where they can earn the millions that they do. So I'm quite sure some do it willingly, but there'll be others who maybe have a bit of a conscience about it and go along with it. Eventually they may not go as far as some of the others, but once you're in the club, it's a problem to get out. As again, the videos show, you know, there's certain things have happened to actors. You know, certain actors have died under certain circumstances. And Hollywood is the new Babylon, taken over from Berlin, which Hitler cleared out in the 30s. And there's been a cesspit of Masonic anti-Christian values ever since. And uncontrolled. They've never liked Christianity in Hollywood, and now they've got a government in America which is pretty much anti-Christian, with a president that's anti-Christian. So it's all coming to pass. They've got a Catholic church which has been totally infiltrated by the Masons and blackened by the paedophilia, to the point where people, or young kids today, look at Christianity as something abhorrent, and certainly that was intended. So, yeah, I mean, this is the consequence of losing World War II, as I depicted in the final episode when Hitler gave a speech and said, you know, it isn't just a fight for Germany, this is a fight for all of Europe and for our children's future. And it certainly was, and they got defeated, and here we are.
I noticed there was one chap there that was talking, nine of his actor friends had all been bumped off. And
Randy Quaid, yeah.
Yeah, and you see these other actors there, and they're all being forced to wear women's dresses. Some of them are saying, you'll never get me in a woman's dress, and then the next shot, you've got them wearing a woman's dress, and you've got these actors that have these macho roles like Will Smith, and then the pictures of them kissing men. And I think part of this thing for being an actor is that, you know, they're encouraged that they're just acting, so they've got to play this homosexual role. And of course, if they're playing a homosexual role, they're engaging in homosexual acts. And all these ones that say they're not going to do it, if they don't do it, that's it, they're out of Hollywood.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're back on, you know, driving a bus or driving a truck. Yeah, but Will Smith is certainly notorious, and but he's a prime example, because Will Smith has been probably starred in more top Hollywood movies than any modern actor, and yet you could no way say that Will Smith is a Marlon Brando. But because he goes along with the agenda, and certainly his marriage is broke up because of a homosexual affair, he gets these parts, and he's also quoted in the documentary speaking as Crowley would, because again, Aleister Crowley is their icon in Hollywood, as it is in the music industry. It all falls into place. This decadent guy who thrived on being the most evil, or tried to be the most evil man in history, and certainly, you know, went a long way to securing that title.
And of course, they all idolise him as well, don't they? There's a big long list of rock stars that idolised Crowley. And Will Smith, I think it goes back a long way with his using him to degrade the youth and manipulate the young people. Because they started off with him as being this this Fresh Prince of Bel-Air character, wasn't it?
Sure.
I mean, he wasn't your average drug-dealing black rapist. It was giving young people a false idea of what blacks are like that look like that and dress like that. It was all about giving people this false idea of what people are like, and sure. Mate, and the whole Hollywood thing is about giving people a false idea of this wonderful lifestyle of being the fantasy hero that everybody wants to be. And yet, I mean, it makes it clear in that documentary series that it starts off with, even with the kids have a casting couch, and pedophilia is rife in Hollywood. These child actors, you know, if they don't sit on the knees of the rich bankers that want them at their parties, then that's it. They're not going to get into Hollywood. They're not going to be in the films. And if they say anything about it, then they get bumped off. Like,
exactly.
I think that, well, there's a few of them. I think River Phoenix, wasn't he one of them? Or some of them spoke out about this,
to them
when they were young, and they died in suspicious circumstances.
Yeah, well, you know, people, there are some people around today like who still question that, you know, there's no evidence of all this. But I can remember watching the movie, the biography of James Dean. Now, James Dean was one of the most rapid rising stars Hollywood's ever seen. And from one Broadway show, next he was appearing with Elizabeth Taylor and Rock Hudson, another closet gay. And this doesn't happen just like that. This, you know, in the actual film, it shows him meeting one of these directors, being told to be at a place, hotel room at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, in, you know, where a party was taking place. And he turned up, and, you know, the homosexual thing is well known now about James Dean. And consequently got the major parts. Unfortunately, died at an early age. But like I said, rapid rise to fame, but only because he was doing what he's doing. He was in the club and doing his master's biddings and getting the rewards the following day with big contracts, which is exactly the same as what Will Smith has been doing, and exactly the same as what any Hollywood actor of any length of time. Clint Eastwood is another one. Clint Eastwood, for instance, has been pictured at the Bohemian Club, which is another boys, homosexual boys club. So it all ties in. Difficult to prove, but sometimes the obvious is the obvious, and certainly in Will Smith's case, you look at his children. He's got a daughter and a young lad, and if you look at the both of them, the lad looks like a girl, and the girl looks like a lad, and they're both now in the music industry, sexually perverting at such a young age. So what is obvious is obvious. You know, things are carrying on, and these Jew homosexual masters in Hollywood or in the music industry reign supreme. This is what Hitler cleared out of Berlin, and they've moved to Hollywood, and they're probably basking in the sun, happier where they are than where they ever have been.
Well, another thing I just thought of then, you hear this this legend or this myth about these musicians selling their soul to the devil. Mm-hmm. There's always this transaction where they give something to this supernatural being and he exchanges fame and power for them. And in the documentary mm-hmm. series, you've got Bob Dylan talking about actually doing that. And he's saying the devil, but he doesn't quite say it. But then you think, well, okay, well, you can believe that or you can't. But, I mean, that's actually an allegory for what's happening with this casting couch in Hollywood. They're going wanting to be in film and they're told, well, you sleep with this guy and then we'll make you famous. You toe the line and we'll make you famous. So that is a pact with the devil. It doesn't necessarily have to be a supernatural devil. It can just be an allegory for what they're actually doing, where they're being corrupted by these Jewish Hollywood film producers.
Yeah, which is all Antichrist in its whole belief. So if you're going down that line, then this is the way you're going. You know, like I said earlier on, this Luciferian religion has been, it goes right back, if I can just explain to people who are a little bit unsure about it all, it goes right back to the days of the Boer War, where the Rothschilds and Cecil Rhodes were out there in South Africa, you know, stealing the diamonds away from this Boer community, and Churchill was down there with the concentration, the first concentration camps, where many women and children died from starvation, and all this is swept under the carpet. But the basic thing was that these people graduated from these public schools in England. And there's an undercurrent of these black magic clubs. I mean, the Hellfire Club, for instance. Benjamin Franklin used to come back from America and visit, and one of these clubs where it was decadent and there were black magic going on. And even Crowley was in that elite system of education, joined up with the Golden Dawn, which was another black magic organisation. It's still going today. But that wasn't enough for him. He didn't think they went far enough, and so he made his own his own club up and went even further, which is why he's idolised so much. So it all stems from the British public system, and this is all documented in Tragedy and Hope by the author. I can't remember his first name, but his second name was Quigley. This is all documented there. It starts from that very day that, you know, from that period of time where they want world domination, the British Empire wanted world domination. And hence is why you had World War One, and then World War Two was another revolt by the Germans. But it all stems from this, and all the Freemasonry and all the connections, they know all about this elite education system where they have this undercurrent of black magic clubs. And doctrines, which they taught the Luciferian doctrine, and this is gone on, handed down through families for probably two, three centuries, maybe longer, and the end goal is to have this destroy Christianity and destroy all other religions and make the whole world join into one religion, which Luciferian is Antichrist, and this is the driving force, and everything what come from World War II, communism being their preferred way of ruling people, all this decadence and everything else, all this feminism, all this Hollywood traits, music traits, everything is leading to this one world government, one religion, which they're not that far away from. They're certainly well on their way.
You know, black magic and buggery, I suppose you could. They both go hand in hand.
And homosexuality.
Yeah, in these public schools or private schools. And you say public schools, what we mean is private schools that are
private schools. Yes, it's a weird way that it, isn't it? Yeah, people think public schools is open to the public. It's not. It's only open to the private.
Yeah, you look at Tony Blair. I mean, he used to call himself Miranda. And is well known for these homosexual encounters, and in these public
Cameron,
schools. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, Cameron Osborne are well known for going around dangling £50 notes in front of homeless tramps. That's how these people got the kicks.
This homosexual side of it, this buggery side of it, it's almost seen as you know, they had to do that to be part of the club. It's almost like the hazing, I think, is what they call it in America, where you join these clubs at the university and you have to perform these various acts where you get ridiculed, yeah, in order to join the club. It's almost like, mm-hmm, that, but it's you know, you have to bugger each other, and then you know the you have an oath of secrecy, and this is where this is all sort of
anything the Freemasons,
isn't it? The Freemasons,
exactly. Well,
has the oaths to keep the silence from that.
Well, the Skull and Bones, and Yale, and you know, it's just a continuation of what went on in England. These people who, you know, they went out on the Mayflower or whatever like, and they immigrated to America, and it's just a continuation, because I think a 12-year-old girl found you know, the all the connections of, you know, the blood that Bush was connected to the Queen, and Madonna was connected to Bush, and everything, it's all in the bloodline. So all these people who are running these countries have got to have this certain bloodline to be able to qualify. And in America, the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, etc., are the real power behind the government. They choose exactly who's going to be president. You know, I'm quite sure they've chosen Hillary once Obama's gone. And you know, the voting system has got nothing to do with it. It's just a big scam, and the same in England. You know, Cameron is a puppet. He does what he's told. You know, if the Rothschilds want this doing, then he'll stand up and take all the flak saying it. But all these people just stay in the background, and they have done for numerous years. You know, Rothschilds has his agents in America in the banking system with the Rothschilds and the J.P. Morgans and you know, the Rockefellers who've been prominent. David Rockefeller has been prominent with the New World Order for most of this century. And openly admits in his memoirs that has been his goal. They don't hide the fact anymore. Once over, you know, somebody mentioned the New World Order, you know, people would say you're talking conspiracy. It's gone beyond that now. You know, there's politicians now in America quite openly talking about the New World Order. Clinton talks about it. Bush talked about it when he was there, quite open. And they're not that far away.
You know, everything under the United Nations, which is then controlled by them, controlled by their committees, no accountability whatsoever, no room for individuality and individual genius. It's all just conspiratorial,
really,
with committees deciding things with no responsibility whatsoever. And one of the parts I noticed in the United Nations episode, it's showing you about how they're teaching sex education to these 5-year-olds and teaching them all about sexual diseases and anal sex and condoms and all the rest of it. And there's a parent, and he's saying, well, who's responsible for this? Who decided this? And they can't give them an answer of who decided it. And they're consulting. Yeah, they're consulting with all these different groups, but there's nobody that's actually decided this. And this is, you know, an aim of theirs is to see, they see children not as children, not as innocent children, but just as these not adults yet, but can be treated as if they are adults, which of course is really damaging.
Well, that actual episode, I think, was a catalyst to a lot of people who may have had doubts up to that episode of what I was saying. But when people watch that episode on the UN, and it's so plainly obvious that, I mean, it was formed even before the war ended. I mean, Alex Jones will go on forever and say the Nazis formed the UN. You know, the end of the war was actually in sight. They formed the UN, the winners of World War II, you know, France, England, the Soviet Union, America and China were the main people at the UN, and the rest all kind of fell into line. So, you know, it was formed by the victors, and obviously, as we spoke about communism being the victor of World War II, that particular episode goes on to explain, it shows the people in charge who were communist or very heavy socialists, and it shows the prayer room. There's a prayer room to the visitors who want to go in that room. They enter the room from dark into the light, and this stone altar is, as you said, the prayer to a god of many names. All this is the Luciferian agenda, and that one part of the documentary seemed, from the reaction of comments, some of it seemed to hit home more than anything, and the fact that in Britain, they've took the child now into schools at three, and like you say, in America, the children there at five are being indoctrinated by showing homosexuality is normal, and anal sex and using words like penis this type of thing, which is unsuitable previously for a young child. This is the agenda, to get the young children at an early age, to take them away from any indoctrination that the parents might give them, leaving them at a certain time of their age where they feel that everything that's happening is right. And this makes the resistance so much easier for the New World Order. When they're bringing feminism to break down the family, they're bringing homosexuality to, the main resistance is a strong family. Well, that gets broken up. Another main resistance is nationalism, and that gets broken up when you're bringing in immigrants from across the world. They just try and minimise the resistance all the time. So it gets to a point that, not only is there no military around to threaten them, but there's no real men around or leaders around to threaten them. Because, again, they want to use this this gender situation. I mean, people must have been shocked when they saw the Eurovision Song Contest 12 months ago, when this bearded woman, or bearded half man, half woman, won the actual contest. And, immediately I knew what the situation was, but the people who were watching the programme with me had no idea. Couldn't understand why this bearded woman was actually winning this. It was like just too much to take in. But obviously, it's all to break down this gender system and break down resistance so that any masculinity is eventually wiped out.
Does that make sense? Yeah, it does. It's like they admit it in that episode, that it's the values that parents might instill in their children that they wish to get rid of.
Right.
To get rid of any values that parents have given to their children, and substitute those values for the values of the United Nations and the New World Order, which is basically, they say it's humanism, as if this is a good thing, but it's worshipping the human rather than the creator of the human and the higher power. It's worshipping the lower power. It's worshipping the created being. It's putting the fulfillment of lusts and desires as being the fulfillment. And the meaning of life is just to give in to your lusts and your desires and your vices. And that's freedom. Whereas real freedom is freedom from those vices and those desires and those lusts. And it's the freedom not to indulge in the temptation, not to give in to the temptation. The more you give in to the temptation, the more temptation there will be. You can't put out a fire by pouring oil on it.
Yes, a bottomless pit. The decadence. Once you've surpassed one layer of decadence, you want more decadence, and it just goes on till the bottom of the pit. It can't get any worse. And that's what they call freedom, to do, as Crowley said, do what thou wilt. There should be no laws. Everybody should be free to do what they want. And in that society, with no structure, with no commandments or no Christian doctrine to kind of structure things, it can lead to hell on earth, which is probably what they want.
And of course, then nobody can rely on anybody else, so there wouldn't be any resistance, because everybody's just out for themselves. This is why they want to take away all national feeling, all patriotic feeling, is because that gives people something beyond the family that they can use to unite around, and can then resist against them. So this is why they're against nationalism, and they have the fake nationalists to try and stop people from doing that. I just noticed today, just on the news there, they've got Alex Salmond, who is supposedly a nationalist from the Scottish Nationalist Party, and he's arguing that immigrants should be allowed to vote on this referendum because they've been in Britain for more than 2 years. So they and he accepts them as being Scottish because they've been in Britain for more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And because they pay taxes in Scotland, then that means they're Scottish. And this is supposedly a nationalist. And this is what's put across as being nationalism now in Britain. And real nationalism is being put across as being extremists. Yeah, linked in the same breath as with these groups like ISIS and these other groups that, again, that are being inadvertently, again, they're being funded by the same groups that fund the United Nations to take down another nationalist country, which is Syria, because this goes on throughout the world. They're attacking, you know, everywhere to put it all under this New World Order, which is run by the Jews. You were saying then about how this Conchita Wurst, this half woman or woman looking creature with a beard, won the Eurovision Song Contest. Well, they've had a Negro that has just won the Miss Japan contest. Seriously, a Negro as Miss Japan. Yeah, so
I never know.
The epitome of Japanese beauty is a Negro. And the Japanese people are scratching their heads and saying, you know, what's going on here? How has this happened? Yeah. And of course, this just shows you that they are, you know, they've got their fingers in every pie. I mean, this is
total control.
This isn't the West. This is Japan that they're doing that to, that they're trying to destroy their sense of ethnic solidarity over there. They're doing it everywhere. And we notice it, obviously, more in the white countries because of all the immigration. And obviously, we're further ahead in our debasement and our demoralization than these other countries, but we are the ones that should really be standing up for the morals. We should be the guiding principle for the rest of the world. It should be us. We are the ones that traditionally have had high morals. You know, there isn't a tradition of marriage in Africa, and yet it's the Africans that are standing up and saying, "Well, no, we don't want homosexuality in our countries." But the only reason they're saying that is because they learned that from us, because we used to have these high morals. And that's what's being eaten away by it, isn't it? It's our morality. Everything.
Ireland's a prime example. I mean, Ireland, of all places, just voting now for the rights for homosexuals to marry. They flooded that country with immigrants, and now they've had a vote, and there's your answer. You know, it's something which is planned. Like I said, they don't rush with it. They wait till the time's right, and It's just getting to be a decadent world where people are being forced by political correctness and certain laws to make people think, or if you don't agree, force you to go along with the system. Because as you know, they bring out the hate speech, and if you call homosexual now, you know, it's hate speech, and you can be done in the courts for it. So. You know, they're very good at what they do, but to be good at destroying the world isn't, in my eyes, you know, the best thing for humanity.
Well, you're raising up these minorities into being this protected species. It's just another thing that's happened this week. UKIP have been banned from going to this gay pride thing. You think, well, why would UKIP want to be going along to that anyway? But yet, Christian bakers are getting taken to court for not wanting to make cakes for homosexuals. But yet the homosexuals can say, well, we don't want UKIP coming to our gay pride, so we're going to ban them from coming to gay pride. So the homosexuals can force people to accept homosexuality, but
they're the flavour of the month. You know, the feminists have been used, you know, the homosexuals are being used, you know, to break down the structure of society. But when their use is done, you know, they'll be just, their turn will come. They think for some reason, you know, that, you know, the world's going to be good to them for the next whenever. But these people don't care about homosexuals. They don't even care about, Americans or whatever. They just care about themselves, and they will use any means and any minority to break down this resistance, So when it gets to the point, and that point being ruled by Israel, all these homosexuals and everybody just fall by the wayside.
They just throw them under the bus once they've finished using them. It's like the immigration into America, all these Mexicans. The Mexicans aren't going to care about the white people once they're a majority. They're not going to care about the blacks once they're a majority. And yet you've got these liberals thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to be great once we have diversity and everybody's represented by the percentage of the people in the country. Well, it's not. Because they're just going to fight amongst themselves, and they're not going to give a damn about the.
If America collapsed tomorrow, it doesn't bother that psychopathic minority which are trying to run the world. That's they don't care about that. All they care about is control and more wealth.
And I think there is a definite, there's a war going on against white people as well to wipe them out through miscegenation that does come from the Jews. And they promote this all the time, this blending out of white people into becoming brown. I think this has gone on for a long time, and I think this has a... like a supernatural aspect to it. You know, the world is created by God, it's created as pure. You've got these pure races, and then you've got these impure races that have mixed up and mongrelized, and they naturally don't want to be the only ones that are mongrelized, so they encourage it amongst the pure ones. It's like they don't want to be the only ones that are mongrels, the only ones that aren't really sure of of where they stand in creation, so they want to do it to everybody else. And I think they may not even be conscious of doing it. They probably aren't conscious of doing it, but it's just a subconscious thing that's going to be affecting their actions. This is what we see with the Jews. They may not be conscious of what they're doing against us, and they may not be conscious of just how it's good for the Jews, but whatever they do will be good for the Jews. It may not even be conspiring. It's just naturally the way that they are, isn't it?
Well, if people doubt, this drive for this one world and one religion, it doesn't really matter what I think or people listening think. That's not really the case. It's what they believe and their doctrine. For all this goes back to the Garden of Eden, and whether you believe in the Bible or not, this is what they believe, that they think that God is the bad guy, and that it was Satan who said to Eve, bite at that apple like and you will become as God. And so the whole thing is twisted to make, I mean, there was a series in America called The Fallen Angels where the fallen angels were depicted to be the good guys, and the guys in white gowns were depicted as evil. It's just that Hollywood believes that it's this upside thing down, that God is evil and Lucifer, Satan, is the good guy and enlightened the world to be able to do things godlike, which is a class of science. So it's not what I believe, the matters is not what you or these listeners of ours believe. This is what they believe. And as long as they believe it, it's always going to be a problem. And all these other offshoots of feminism and homosexuality and anything anti-Christian, they will push and they will use just to break down this structure, which has done the white race, or kept the moral of the white race for centuries, to be broken down, to follow the rule of Crowley, do what they will, and no law should be set to stop people from doing what they want, and that's the basis of it. And whether people believe it or not, they believe it.
Yeah, that belief that Satan was a good guy and that the creator was a bad guy, that goes right the way back to the Gnostics. And the Gnostics taught that the creator was the evil one. And this idea that we should be worshipping the creation and that we can be gods, know, this idea that we could evolve towards being a god is another extension from that idea. And exactly. And the idea that the people actually are gods, I mean, that is the Jewish belief. For them, the Jewish nation are above God. In the Talmud, sure. The rabbis debate with God and tell him what to do, and the rabbis are seen as above God, and they see their nation as being God. Yeah, and they themselves are God. That's the essential belief of Judaism. I mean, Michael Hoffman has documented this in his book Judaism Discovered. It gives you all the examples of it, where they see themselves as God. And the extension of that for the Goyim is this humanism religion, where man becomes God, and it's whatever's
well in the documentary.
Thinks is best for him.
Yeah, well, in the documentary, I've got Jim Carrey talking, and it's simply what's the other guy called out of Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, Morgan Freeman. Yeah, he says the same, doesn't he?
Says the same. You know, this is what they believe, and this Goyim follow what these Jews in Hollywood preach, and so they get all the prime work, Jim Carrey. Clint Eastwood, you know, anybody in Hollywood who has been at the top for any length of time has to be in the club and has to be doing the bidding of these Jewish Masonic psychopaths. That simple. Otherwise, you don't get where you are.
Well, this is idolatry, isn't it? It's putting the man before the creator and idolizing the man. And of course, then you have these words in our language like pop idols, rock idols. And that's actually what they are. You're idolizing other human beings. This is what they're teaching. And it's so upfront.
It's a great place going to church, to be quite honest. You know, going to a rock concert is the replacement of going to church. You're going to pay your money and see an idol.
Well, a lot of these modern day churches are more like rock concerts than what you'd imagine a church to be like anyway. They've lost the understanding of what the religious space was all about. And a large part of that, again, this is from your series, Dennis, was what's happened to the Catholic Church since Vatican II, since it's been infiltrated by these Freemasons, since Hitler lost the war and stopped being able to protect them, and the church was infiltrated. It said the Jew is the elder brother in the faith, and no more were we supposed to condemn the Jews for what they had done, for crucifying Christ. They changed all the the rituals of the Mass, and whether you go along with what they, you know, with the Mass or not, it's still a tradition that had gone on for thousands of, you know, well over 1,000 years, 1,500 years, that was the same in every country, said in the same language. You could go anywhere in the world and you could see this this ritual that went on that was exactly the same and had been exactly the same for hundreds of years. But white people had carried this out for hundreds of years. You would be, you know, listening to the same words that they were. And that's all been changed. They changed that.
It shows the New World Order Mass, doesn't it? You know, it goes into, you know, that side of it where plainly all respect as a family unit, one's going to church, has all disappeared. You know, the going in t-shirts and dancing around, just totally different to the concept of when I used to go to church as a young boy. It's all changed, and it's all to do with bringing down Christianity. And today, I mean, if anyone. Cameron once said not long ago that Britain was a Christian country, and I refuse to accept that. I really do refuse to accept that, because I don't think there's anything religious now. Whenever Christmas, if you go to places like Tesco's for a Christmas card, there's nothing religious there at all. They took the religion out of Christmas. And there's other examples, you know, that this country is far from Christian. Very few people go to church these days, but I don't go myself because of this takeover of the Catholic Church anyway. But even so, you know, There's just no feel at all of a religion in the UK, and in America, these weird Christian neocons are all pro-Israel anyway. It's like nothing. Everything's upside down. You know, I mean, the Jews killed Christ, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, how they can say that they're the elder brother in the faith, or how they can allow them into the church, I just don't understand. I mean, Christ said that they were the sons of the devil. How can you have sons of the devil in the church? I mean, look at the chaos that these Muranos caused when they started allowing these Jews to pretend to say that they were Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the church itself, the organized establishment church, is pretty much totally taken over. You might find the odd priest or the old vicar that is still solid and still sticks to the faith, but they're not the ones in the establishment controlling it. They don't have the influence. I mean, they're good to talk to, I should imagine, to get explanation of things that you might have questions about, or to gain get guidance from. But they're not the ones controlling these churches. The ones that are controlling the churches now are the ones calling for more immigration, calling for women priests, calling for homosexual marriage.
Correct.
I really did like it in your video where the new Pope, or the anti-Pope, he gets these two children to let these two doves fly out, and they get killed by a seagull and a crow.
That's right.
That must have shook people up, I should imagine, if they were watching that live on the television, or actually...
Plus the lightning. Yeah, the lightning striking, you know, the Vatican when the Pope resigned. Resigned, which is, you know, unheard of. You know, the Pope was usually given that job for life, and suddenly he resigns, and they bring in this fresh Pope, who, by the way, is predicted as being the final Pope. One of the predictions of one of the priests back in history said there'd only be 13 popes, and all his predictions have apparently come true so far, and he predicts that this Pope will be the 13th, will be the last one. So whether that ties up with the final days and World War III, it's anybody's guess. But, you know, it's certainly one to keep your eye on, because this Pope is by far the most open. When he's saying that atheists, it's not a problem, they can go to heaven, and homosexuals can go to heaven, and just turning the old rule book upside down, and meets with, you know, these leaders around the world, and goes to Israel, and is, you know, is greeted as this great man, you know, totally opposite to the teachings of the Catholic Church that I know anyway.
Well, yeah, you can see that he's obviously one of them because of the way they fawn over him and they make such a fuss of him. I mean, they think he's brilliant, don't they?
Yeah, Obama, another one, isn't he? Yeah.
And there he is in the synagogue. But to go back to this lightning that hit the Vatican, I do think that the way God acts is through nature to try and warn us of these things. It's like we have our red squirrels, and the red squirrels have all been wiped out by the grey ones. And this happened before, just shortly before we started being invaded by these other races. Yeah, so it was showing you this is what happens if you have other people into a country. They'll wipe you out. They wiped out the red squirrel, you know, and you see this lightning hits the Vatican. You know, it's trying to tell us something. The Pope lets the seagull and a crow eat them. You know, nature's trying to tell us, warn us all the time that something's up, something's wrong.
I mean, good and evil is a power of nature. You know, this side is of whether religious or not, you cannot deny that there's good and evil in this world, and they've been battling since the beginning of time. Now, whether you know people want to transfer that into the religious side of it, the Bible there is there for people to read and understand. If not, you still cannot deny this battle of good and evil. And you're not telling me that people can't distinguish what is evil and what is not. And what is good for nature and what is not, because anybody who attacks nature is actually attacking themselves. Because if you try to defeat nature, you know, it's only going to come back on yourself, because it just can't be done without some retribution. So when you're pushing homosexuality, which in my eyes and many other people's eyes, is against nature. There's going to be some retribution. It's whether it's a karma thing or whatever, but this good and evil has been battling since the beginning of time. These two forces, and it'll go on until eventually there will be a winner. But as we're going on all the way, I believe that we're seeing the results of the good, in my eyes, losing World War II, evil won it, and hence the consequences, which is what the documentary is trying to show.
Well, yeah, that's what we're seeing now is the consequences of the good guys losing 70 years ago. You're getting to getting to the end of these consequences now, and people are starting to realise that, you know, the rest of the world is starting to realise what it is that's caused all of this. And isolating the exact events that happened in history that led to what we've come to today, and I think one of the ways they are attacking us is to try and make people think that good and evil is relative, and that they're just relative things, and what's good for one it could be evil for somebody else, rather than there being an essential good, an essential evil, and from that leads on to there not being an objective truth, and that you can't isolate truth. And of course, when you start thinking these things, and you start thinking, well, there is nothing that's absolutely true, there is nothing that's absolutely good, so what's the point in trying for it? What's the point in trying to be true or living truthfully? What's the point in trying to do the right thing? Because it doesn't really matter. Well, that's no. The goal of it, I think.
Well, as I said earlier on, all this started way back, you know, with back in the Boer War, and then after World War II, the British Empire was not the same, but they've amalgamated with the likes of America, which was Masonic, so there's no problem with Britain and America joining together. They funded the Soviet Union, and communism actually won, along with the Masons, won World War II, so that's all an amalgamation. Okay, you know, communism fell in the Soviet Union during the 90s, but that's not a problem because it still carries on the West. I mean, as you see today, with Russia today, Russia's probably the roles have kind of reversed. You look at America and how they're trying to conquer the whole world, and Russia's putting a foot down in Syria to say enough's enough. It's like the whole thing has turned over, the coin's completely turned over now, where Russia is a country where most people would like to be, because, you know, the Christian faith is still upheld there, and certain morals are upheld there, where in the West, we're now become the old Soviet Union, you know, when you've got people in America getting stopped by these so-called border controls, which are not border controls, they're 100 miles inside the country. It's just an excuse for this totalitarianism of communism. So it's like, you know, Obama is looking more and more like an aggressor with his drones and trying to blame these attacks, these gas attacks on Assad and stuff like that. So, you know, the whole thing's reversed, which thankfully, you know, Putin did at least, you know, put his foot down and say enough's enough after Libya, for instance. And all these boats that we're seeing at the moment when they're being rescued, and there's a lot on Sky Television in England about how the British Navy are picking up all these immigrants which are escaping Libya, because Libya is just such a cesspit now of violence. And the British Navy are now being praised for picking these immigrants up and taking them to Europe and docking and let them start a new life. When the British were with alongside the French, were the ones what destroyed Libya in the first place. So it goes on, you know, it's a big masquerade. Well,
a lot of the Libya thing, I mean, most of these ones that are coming from there aren't even from Libya anyway. They're from Sudan and Nigeria and Afghanistan
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about the recent couple of weeks where they found these Libyans trying to escape. But yeah, you're quite right. They're coming from all over, you know. And again, Jew instigated. You know that from the first documentary I did, where they actually, where Barbara Spector actually admits it, that this is the plan, you know.
Oh, this is what the Jews want. And it's documented. It's documented by Kevin MacDonald in his Culture of Critique, the way that they, the way that these Jews have worked, to take down our society basically and replace it with one in their image. This is again, this goes back to humanism and the worship of the human being rather than the worship of God. And just to
man-made God instead of God making man. That's the ideal.
Yeah, just to go back to what you were saying there about Russia. I mean, that does get, you know, that gives us cause for hope, really. You think the Russian people, what they went through under Bolshevism and Soviet and the way they were treated and the way the church was treated and the way Christianity was treated. And as soon as the Soviet boot is lifted, then you see a big resurgence in the church and in Christianity, building new churches. And you see Putin saying that he wants the church to have a big say in the way that the state is run, and that it's really important that they remain Christian. Makes a stand against homosexuality and the degradation of their morals. So whether you approve of Putin or not, I mean, you can see that the Russian people, they kept their faith, and once communism was gone, they really pushed back hard against it.
They want to preserve the family, just exactly what we used to be, you know. Because I once saw an interview on Channel 4 where this Russian politician was getting annoyed at the fact that it was being accused of locking up this Pussy Riot and causing homosexuals to, you know, not to have any freedoms. And he was saying, as long as they don't affect the family, everything's fine. But they will not be allowed to be marched up and down the streets and affecting the young of Russia, which is perfectly, in my eyes, perfectly feasible.
Yeah, and the worse it gets, the more they do this to us, and the more of a backlash there is going to be, the more people there are going to be that join us and that say, well, enough is enough, and we can see what's going on, and we want to resist against it. And I think the more they... it's just obvious, isn't it? The more we have this immigration, the more we have this faggotry pushed down our throats, the more people are going to resist against it, and organised resistance against it, which is what we're seeing now with these nationalist groups.
Which is why I hope America never give the guns up, because that's the prime aim, is to get those millions of guns off the Americans, so they'll be easier to... less resistance again, you see, a little easier to control.
No, we're just hoping that, well, we're seeing it now. We're actually seeing more nationalist-inspired groups in America gaining traction, like Traditional Youth Network and Gage's group, the, what are they called, National Front something, National Youth Front.
Yeah.
So you've got these groups that are now starting to get the mainstream exposure over there, and that more and more people are joining.
I'm hoping that the American military, there's someone in the American military who sees what's happening to his own country and sees how these, you know, the amendments are all being attacked. And so if at all possible, you know, then, you know, a military takeover of America would not go amiss, and bring back the old standards and get rid of the Fed and, you know, the government control of the, you know, the finances, and that will be a major achievement. You know, and you just got to hope that somebody in the military high up enough with enough people around him who can maybe do this, that would solve a lot of problems. I'm sure.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people are praying for, that the military will affect some kind of coup after what's going on. I mean, you just hope for the same in Britain. I mean, our countries are being invaded, and our sovereignty has been given away. That's what this United Nations thing is. It's our sovereignty that's been given away to them. And the EU is a subsidiary of it.
Sure. And from the end of 1945, all roads lead to 9/11. All roads lead to 9/11, because that was a false flag instigation so that they could go into the Middle East and cause havoc on behalf of Israel. So... It all ties up. It all ties up, whether people want to believe it or not. It's there. And hopefully the documentary, I mean, there's only 8 parts at the moment, there's going to be more parts, obviously. Hopefully the documentary will show it. And it hasn't been as banned, certainly one of the episodes is banned in Germany, but it hasn't been as banned as what the Adolf Hitler one, which is banned in 22 countries around the world on YouTube. So maybe this is a little backdoor for people to understand that one. Once they watch this new documentary, then they might go back and look at the Adolf Hitler one, because it all ties up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, some of the subjects that you're dealing with in this new documentary are more traditionally dealt with by the conspiracy crowd, and it will appeal to them. And then from seeing this documentary, they'll naturally be led to looking at Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told. And they'll naturally be led to those truths that
are shown in that. Because there's a piece in one of the, I can't remember which part it is now, but it shows, it starts off with Churchill actually giving the speech that, you know, this is a war to save Christianity, which was a big lot of ball going, because he was far from a Christian. Not only that, the rest of Europe at that time was Christian, and that Christian army was going into the Soviet Union, so it was a big scam to say that, you know, that Churchill was trying to save Christianity. And it shows plainly in a list all the people who was head of all the countries in Europe at that time, and even the people that Hitler replaced in Vichy, France, or wherever, in Czechoslovakia, in Belgium, in Holland, they were all replaced by Christians. So for Churchill to say it's just a sham. And once people can understand that that was a holy war, good for evil, then once they watch that documentary, hopefully, as you say, then they'll look at the Adolf Hitler documentary with more of an open mind.
Yeah, it was Talmudism that Churchill was fighting the war for, the triumph of the Talmud, certainly not
exactly
fighting for Christianity to win. Okay, no. Well, that just about brings us up to the hour here, Dennis. Just remind people that they can find your new documentary at communismbythebackdoor.tv, and Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told. What's the web address of that one?
That's the greatest story never told.tv. And like I said, the parts are already up on YouTube. I've done a similar thing with the Adolf Hitler video, where I put the parts up gradually, you know, and people could follow it, and eventually the Adolf Hitler one got took down, but it was up there long enough for people to enjoy it. It's the same thing with this one, Communism by the Back Door. It's in the playlist on Dennis Wise on YouTube.
Okay, so look out for that, and I'll say thank you very much for listening, and we do hope to see you again next time.